Let's jump in with our prayer, and then we will talk about the word of the Lord. Father God, we thank you this morning, Father, that you are who you say, that you are a God that loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. Father, Lord, I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for giving us ears to hear you. I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, to open our hearts so that we can receive the word that comes forth this morning, Lord. We honor you for being a God full of grace, mercy, love, and truth. And we pray, God, that you'll continue to let our light shine before men so that they may see our good works and to glorify you, Father. We pray that everything we do brings you glory, praise, and honor because you so much deserve everything, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning will come out of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I love this particular scripture. It's definitely one that I hold dear to my heart. We're supposed to love all the Word of God, and I do, but there are certain scriptures and certain stories that may really resonate with me, so I honor God for that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, when I pray about getting a word for, you know, Wednesday mornings or anytime I get a chance to share, it's really amazing to me how God will show me different things and speak to me in different ways. And most of the time, he'll show me something, and that day or later on, he'll show me a different way. So he's pretty much yelling at me, saying, "Hey, Alan, this is what I want you to talk about." And sure enough, when I preach down in Rome, a lot of times, well, one of my elder, he always plays a song called "One Word Away." And then the other day, my wife plays a song for me, and it happens to be "One Word Away." She was messing with me, and man, since then, God's really been showing me and talking to me about his word. And what the song says is that we are always one word away. One word away from what? One word away from healing, one word away from deliverance or joy or peace. Because we as believers have to focus on the fact that if we believe that God speaks, if we believe that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we have to believe that the same power God said, "Let there be light," with is absolutely the same power that he can speak over us and to us now. And I do want to add this really quick. If anybody ever has, you know, a testimony to share or, you know, just something that happened to them that God did, we're always open to that. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to take other people's time, but, you know, I have to give God the glory and praise that he so rightly deserves, because God is constantly doing things in my life and showing me his grace. And sure enough, Sunday, then I'll jump into the scripture. Sunday, my wife left to go to the grocery store, and me and the kids were here, you know, just playing, you know, hanging out or whatever. And Joshua, you know, turned 8 a couple weeks ago, and we're outside, and Joshua outside on the lanai just lays down like in the sun. And, you know, I thought he was messing around at first, and I was like, "Joshua, you know, why are you laying down?" And he looked up at me with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Dad, I don't feel good." And I've only seen that look in people's eyes a couple times in my life. And it scared me bad, because I knew not only did he not feel good, but he was scared. And he began to cry. And it just absolutely broke my heart. So I called my wife and was like, "Hey, listen, you might want to get home. Joshua's not feeling good. And not only is he not feeling good, but he's crying and he's scared." You know, it was 90 degrees Sunday, and he said, "Dad, I'm freezing, Dad, I'm cold," and he was shivering. And there'll be times, brothers and sisters, in our lives that there's nobody but you and God. There'll be times in our lives that you don't have, 10 people around you to help you pray, to do certain things. And I want to encourage you not to be scared of those moments, but to be empowered by those moments. Yes, I was nervous that my son was looking at me with, crying and scared, and I was scared, and, you know, I couldn't get him warm, and, you know, it made me extremely nervous, but all I knew to do was call upon the Lord. I began to pray. I began to have a couple people that are really, really close to me, my apostle, my elder. And I sent them a text and my brother, and I said, listen, can you pray for Joshua? And all of a sudden, God began to minister to me, and I began to pray for my son. And I told my son, I said, Joshua, do you believe God can heal you? He said, yes, Dad, but he was still scared, and, you know, he's still crying. And I prayed for him, and I said, Joshua, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I prayed that with an authority that I knew only came from God. And I will testify this morning that my son and daughter are back in school. So 48 hours later, from my son looking at me, that I thought maybe we were going to the hospital, my son walked back into his school immediately after I prayed, after God gave me the word to pray. He began to feel better. Yes, he still had a temperature, but it was more like a quote unquote normal sickness. He was, you know, kind of achy at first, but then he'd run around for an hour and then he'd say he was tired. So I honor God for that this morning. And the whole point of my word this morning is to talk about that we are all one word away. We are one word from changing our lives, because I promise you, brothers and sisters, if God will intervene, if God will speak over your life, if God will speak to you, then everything has to change. It's not one of those things that it might change. It has to change. The Bible says that God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's in the book of Psalms. And when he says that, what he's saying is, listen, anything I speak has to happen, and it's got to go out and accomplish everything that I want it to accomplish. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11, he says, listen, my word that comes forth out of my mouth will not return unto me void. It has to accomplish the very thing that I set it out to do. And not only accomplish, but it has to prosper. So brothers and sisters, I think about it as a boomerang. You know, if you throw a boomerang, if you know what you're doing, which sometimes I don't, you know, it'll come back to you. But what God does is when God speaks, his word goes forth from him and it comes back to him. A lot of us would say full circle. It comes back, and everything that God meant for his word to accomplish happens. And it doesn't happen by accident. It's purposed. The Bible says before you were even born, he knew you. He had plans for you. So everything in your life is on purpose if you will heed the word of the Lord. And I think about it sometimes, and you know, God constantly blows my mind. And I'm like, God, why do we talk about your word when anybody says, you know, do you believe the word of God, or do you read the word of God? When obviously we know there's thousands and thousands of words. In the scripture, why is it called word as in singular? And I began to think about this and talk to God about it. And, you know, obviously I'm looking up everything possible. And when it talks about the word of God, the Greek word for it is, I'm going to mess this all up, is a theopneustos. I'm sure that's crazy wrong. Somebody could probably correct it. But theos meaning God, and pneuma meaning spirit, breath, or wind. So when we talk about the word of God, it literally means God breathed, God exhaled, the wind, the breath that came forth from God made this word of God. And man, that's encouraging this morning, especially with everything that we hear about, you know, COVID-19 and Delta or whatever variant they want to say it is now, all that kind of crazy stuff. Because a lot of times it's not COVID that's necessarily hurting people, it's pneumonia. It's the lungs receiving an infection. Well, you know, I began to think about it, and I was like, well, pneuma meaning spirit or wind or breath. Well, obviously pneumonia has the same prefix, pneuma. And I began to think and pray to God, and I was like, God, what if instead of pneumonia filled our lungs, what if the breath of God filled our lungs? What if the word of God filled our lungs, so that not only we can receive the benefit of the word of God, but every time we inhale, we must exhale. So if the word of God is coming into you, if you're inhaling the breath of God, being in a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then instead of infection or bacteria filling our lungs, filling our being, the breath of the Lord, the breath of God himself can fill our lungs. It can fill our very being. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, if God himself breathes into you, there is absolutely no way any infection, any disease can stand in the same place or vicinity of God. God is not the author of confusion. He is a God that heals us. His desire is to bless us, to make us free, to give us deliverance and to strengthen us. And in the scripture this morning, I want to talk about what happens when you believe the word of God. What happens when you believe that one word can change your life forever? What happens, brothers and sisters, when you can put enough strength, put enough effort, put enough emphasis on the word of God to know that if you can get in this book, if you can get in this Bible, that it can change you forever. And I want to encourage us this morning in the scripture. It's probably a very, very familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion or a Roman officer came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed.'" Only speak a what? Speak a word. And I want to really, really focus this morning on why this centurion believed what he believed. He tells Jesus, "Listen, you don't even have to come to my house because I'm not worthy for you to come there. But I just need you to say something." And we're about to find out why the Roman officer believed this. Verse 9. This is the centurion or the Roman officer's explanation on why he told Jesus all he needed was a word. Verse 9, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Verse 10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" In verse 11, "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 13, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that very same hour." Brothers and sisters, I love how this centurion, this Roman officer, made it real to himself. He didn't try to be so deep and try to understand these great revelations, but he simply said, and that's what I want to encourage us with this morning. It is as simple as I'm saying this morning, is a word changes everything. The centurion said, "Listen, the reason I'm saying this is because I'm under authority and I have people under my authority." You see, if you walk into Walmart with the owner of Walmart and he says to you, "Hey, listen, go get a pack of gum. It's for free." You understand you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to worry about the police. You don't have to worry about the taxes. You don't have to worry about anything because the owner told you you could have it. So that's it. He doesn't have to ask for anybody's permission. He doesn't have to wonder if it's okay. You don't even have to worry about can he afford it or not because he told you to do it. And that's it. And it's the same way with this centurion. He said, "Listen, I have people under my authority. I'm under authority. And if my superiors tell me to do something, I've just simply got to go do it. If they tell me to go to the east and I believe we should go north, I still have to go east because it doesn't matter what I say because they are above me. And the people that I give the orders to, they better not question me." Definitely back then, you know, you might get court-martialed or something now. Back then, you know, they'd hang you, they'd kill you. I about said they'd shoot you, good Lord. They would you know, do whatever it took to make you obey, or you'd face severe consequences. So when Jesus said, listen, I'll come heal him, I couldn't imagine if Jesus told me, hey, listen, I know your son was sick, but let me, I'll come to your house. I'm letting him come. I'm like, jump in the car, Jesus, let's go. I'm telling you, dude, I can't imagine me saying, wait a minute. You know, I own a business, so, you know, my employees have to do what I tell them to most of the time. I just couldn't imagine doing that, because my opinion would be that Jesus touching my son, or Jesus coming into my house, or Jesus embracing my son, you know, that sickness wouldn't stand a chance. But what the centurion said is, listen, if I can obey the word of man, then the word of God is superior. You have to understand something, brothers and sisters. I would have told Jesus to come on, but this Roman officer said, listen, man, let me make it simple. People do what I say, so I know this sickness has to do what you say, because you were there in the beginning. You see, we forget that God is the God that said, let there be light. Let there be, he divided the heaven and the earth. You know, he did these great things. And last time I checked, they can't find the end of space. They can't make things stop shining. Why? Because it's still going. When Jesus said, let there be light, it's still going. How fast is it going? At the speed of light, some may say. I may say it's going at the speed of the voice of God himself. Yeah, they might be able to measure it, but it's still going. They'll never find the end of space, because God never said stop. You see, if God speaks a word of healing or blessing over you and he don't tell it to stop, then it can go from you and go from generation to generation to generation. The word of the God is not able to return into him void, we said earlier. So that means that it's going to accomplish, it's going to prosper. So what you have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus don't even got to come to your house. All you need is a word. God, we need a word. I pray for our nation. We need a word, God, because if God will speak, brothers and sisters, I don't care how dark it may be, because there's one thing that I know for sure, no matter how dark it may be in your closet or your house or outside, if you take a flashlight, it doesn't even matter to me if the batteries aren't brand new and that light comes on, there's no way that darkness extinguishes that light. There is no amount of darkness that can extinguish the light. And obviously, there is no amount of darkness that comes towards us, no amount of unbelief that can extinguish the light that God has put on the inside of each one of us. There's a reason Jesus tells us, let our light so shine before men. We are supposed to believe the word of God. And brothers and sisters, I encourage us this morning to believe it. How do we believe it? Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It simply means get in the book. Listen to people. I know we right now, especially myself included, I could turn it on Fox News or YouTube or whatever it may be and get so caught up in it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, I'm having a crazy kind of day. And the reason is because I poured more of Fox News into me than I did the word of God. I put more of man complaining into me than I did giving God glory or thinking positive. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I promise you, we have to choose to be positive. Yes, it's hard, but yes, we can do it. This Roman officer, before Jesus even did a lot of miracles, told Jesus, listen, you ain't got to come to my house. All I need is a word. And I love that the Bible says Jesus marveled. He was astonished at this man's faith, not because it was so miraculous in the sense of so deep or so deep in revelation. It was because this man understood a principle in his life and he applied it to the word of God. Brothers and sisters, in closing this morning, there will be a time, there has been a time in each one of our lives that we needed a word. I need a word every day of my life. And no matter if we fall, no matter if we mess up, when it comes to those times in your life that you need a healing or you need God to give you a breakthrough or you need a financial blessing, do not be scared to go to God by yourself. Do not be fearful to call upon brothers and sisters that you know have a relationship with God, because the Bible says one makes 1,000 a flat, 2 10,000. So I believe in the power of prayer by a group. I love it, but I also love that all it takes is a word. And I can testify that on Sunday, when my son looked at me with tears in his eyes, scared, and I was scared, God gave me a word to speak. And it changed his life forever, and it changed my life forever. And I honor God for that. But the same way God gave me a word is the same way he'll give you a word. It's the same way that he will bless your children. It's the same way he'll bless your mom and dad. It's the same way he'll bless your brothers and sisters. And I encourage you this morning to know that instead of letting infection, and I mean infection like the news cycle or COVID or the politics or the opinions of other people come into your life, I encourage you to allow the pneuma, the theos, the word, the breathed word of God himself to come into your life, and let that bring you freedom. Allow that word to bring you deliverance. Allow that word to give you optimism and positivity and strength this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for healing Joshua. I thank you, Father God, for healing every person in this call. God, I thank you for healing every person, Lord, that'll hear this message. I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, to give them a word of healing for their family. I pray, Lord, that you will give them prosperity in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that nothing that comes against them shall prosper. God, I cast every thought down, God, that comes up against the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are who you say, God, and you deserve the glory, God. You don't have to talk to us, but God, you choose to, and I honor you, God. You are who you say, God. You are a God that loves. You are a God that forgives. You're a God of mercy and grace and truth and long-suffering. You are Jesus. And I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you will create a hunger inside of each one of us to get inside your word, your breathed word, Lord. Father, I thank you that you spoke in the beginning. I thank you that you speak now. And it's the same power that holds it all together. We love you. We honor you. We thank you as our God. In Jesus' name, amen.